It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
It's Wednesday, and for the first time this week, I'm able to welcome you into a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. No show on Monday due to Monday Night Football. No show yesterday due to election coverage, but we are back. We are here. We are with you till 8 o'clock this evening, and we've got quite the program that's going to be coming up tonight. Our guests include Bernie Miklas in about 10 minutes. Derek Gould will join us at 6:35, and then next hour, our good friend Alex Gold from our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, will talk with us about Amendment 2 passing by the slimmest of margins yesterday as sports gambling is set to come to the state of Missouri. All right, so let's go through kind of our headlines coming into this show, because we really do have a bunch of things that I want to get into over these first couple hours. The biggest story, and I'd be very interested to get your comments on this. Might be able to open up the phones a little bit later in the program on this, but if you want to get your voice heard, you can certainly text in or tweet in. If you text in, it's 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or if you tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Clearly the biggest story in St. Louis sports that broke within the last couple hours from the general manager meetings down in San Antonio. The Cardinals have a new first baseman, but he's been around for a while. It's Wilson Contreras. The Cardinals and John Mozeliak announcing to the assembled media who's covering the GM meetings that they have made the decision to move Wilson Contreras from behind the plate and instead put him at first base, where he will become the club's everyday first baseman. And all indications are that his time as a catcher, at least as long as he is with the Cardinals, his time as a catcher has come to an end. John Mozeliak said that they have already had conversations because, look, when this news first came out, there was already some conspiracy theorist out there. And I don't say that like in a negative fashion, but when you hear something, you're trying to figure out what's going on behind it. There were some people who were out there who were floating the idea, and I think it was a legitimate idea to float out there, that maybe the Cardinals weren't getting a buy-in from Contreras on being willing to move via trade, so they're putting him in a position that he didn't really want to play. But that's not it. That's not the case at all. Based off what John Mozeliak said, that Contreras is very comfortable to moving into a role where he is a first baseman DH and where he's going to be able to hopefully stay healthy, because being healthy has not been his forte here in his time with the Cardinals. And they've got a couple of young guys in Pedro Páez and Ivan Herrera who are both major league ready. We've talked a lot on this show about maybe giving Ivan Herrera a first baseman's mitt. Well, no, they give it to Wilson Contreras instead. And not only do they give him the mitt, they say you're going to wear this thing pretty much every day. So I like the move, and I will dive into why I like the move later on. I also think that this is essentially the end of Nolan Arenado as a Cardinal. When we got into this offseason, I thought 1 to 2 of the big three with the big contracts between Arenado, Contreras, and Gray, I thought 1 or 2 of those guys would get moved. Now I don't think Contreras is going to get moved. I also don't think Sonny Gray is going to get moved in the offseason. That kind of leaves Nolan Arenado. And from a there's only so many spots on the field standpoint, if you want to give some opportunities to some other guys, you kind of need third base to be able to do it. So I think Nolan Arenado's time with the Cardinals is coming to an end, and they are going to move him at some point. So we'll get more into that. We'll get into the Amendment 2 stuff, sports gambling passing in the state of Missouri by the thinnest of margins. The PAC, the Political Action Committee that was most against it, has already come out and said that they are not going to be pushing for a recount. So it's going to pass. It's good. And we're going to have sports gambling here in the state of Missouri before we know it. I'm not overly interested. And again, we'll have Alex Gold on next hour at 7:20, and we'll get through kind of some of the logistical type things on sports gambling coming to Missouri. I know that's important to some. That's not the most important thing to me on this. The most important thing to me on this is the impact it's going to have on the team, specifically the Cardinals. And I talked about this today with Tom Ackerman when we did the Gas House Gang, which is always available via social media and podcast. I think that sports gambling being approved in Missouri, it impacts the Cardinals in many ways from a revenue stream standpoint. But I even think it impacts things, or it could potentially impact things, from a TV standpoint. And I'll explain all of that coming up later on this hour, probably next hour when we get into that. Derek Gould's going to join us later on this hour, as I mentioned. So we'll go through all the Wilson Contreras stuff with him. And we'll talk some Blues hockey as well. The Blues had a really scary situation last night with Dylan Holloway as he was hit in the neck by a puck. It got him right on a nerve, which is not good, and they stretchered him out. They ended the period early, but it seems like he's going to be okay. He did not practice today, but he was at the practice facility, so we'll touch on all that coming up later on in the program as well. As always, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. When we come back, we'll get Bernie Miklas' thoughts on Wilson Contreras becoming a full-time first baseman. We'll also get his thoughts on sports gambling being approved and what happened with the Blues and a few other things as well. Bernie's got his weekly conversation with us here on Sports Open Line. It's on the way next right here on KMOX.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is presented by Celica Heating and Cooling.
It is one of my favorite times of the week when I get to talk with Bernie Miklas for 15, 20 minutes or so. You know, we'll do this for a little bit longer tomorrow. We've got the Gas House Gang every day at noon on all the KMOX social media channels. All four of us, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, myself, and Bernie, are on Mondays. And then we pair up the other 4 days of the week. And tomorrow it's going to be me and Bernie. I'm looking forward to that. But before we get to that, we got to get to this. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. Yeah, when you and I got a little doubleheader action. Looking forward to tomorrow already. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure we will continue this conversation tomorrow, but let's get to it. The news of the moment is that the Cardinals say Wilson Contreras is going to become a first baseman. He's going to retire the catcher's mitt, and he's essentially going to be the frontline first baseman for the Cardinals, replacing Paul Goldschmidt. What's your initial reaction to the news?
It's positive. There's a couple things. First of all, you know, the Cardinals, in effect, remain committed to Wilson Contreras. And what I like about it is he remains fully committed to them. And he told the team explicitly that he really wanted to stay with the Cardinals. He wanted to help them get through this retooling time or whatever we're calling it. And he feels like he wants to make good on this contract that the Cardinals gave him. You know, there's been some fussing about, well, you move him to first base, he's not as valuable because part of his value was, you know, the fact that he was such a good hitting catcher and they're hard to find. And I would just say, no. Let's pipe down on that a little bit. Listen, Wilson Contreras, among right-handed hitters in the major leagues, over the last 2 years, minimum of about 800 plate appearances, he was 33% above average, above league average offensively, based on weighted runs created plus, 33% above league average offensively, which was the 10th best right-handed hitter in baseball. And all his other stats were in line too. He also draws a ton of walks, which the Cardinals need more of. you're providing good value for your salary if you can hit like that. You know, if this guy's not like kind of like, well, he's an above average hitter. Yeah, he's pretty good. No, he's an outstanding hitter, and it makes all the sense in the world to want him to get as many games as possible. That's not going to happen behind the plate. It will happen in a first base DH role.
Your friend of mine, Kevin Wheeler, ran these numbers, and he posted them earlier today on Twitter. The only first baseman that have a higher WRC plus than Wilson Contreras from 2022 to 2024, so the last three seasons, are Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper, Yandy Diaz, and Vlad Guerrero. He and Matt Olson are tied.
Yeah. And so that bat will travel wherever you put him. And I'm sure there's going to be whatever the pushback will be. I saw Buster Olney, who's a friend of mine and have great respect for him. He was just like basically trashing the whole idea that they even signed him. And I'm not sure what I'd like to reach out to Buster and talk to him, because I think he's missing a couple things. He's acting like this thing's been a big bust all the way around, and it really hasn't. This guy is hit extremely well in his two seasons. And, oh, by the way, he worked his tail off last offseason to become a better catcher. And the StatCast stuff bears it out. He was improved behind the plate this past season, and hard work made it possible. So that's part one. I like that a lot. I'm glad he wants to be a Cardinal, because I see him as a team leader. I think he'll really, really move into that role. The other thing is, of course, and I'll throw it back to you, but the idea that Ivan Herrera, I think in particular, is going to get a chance to play and play and play a lot is really good, because he is another formidable hitter. And the more he plays, the more formidable he'll become.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also get frustrated by the moving of the goalpost. We can go back to the day that Wilson Contreras is signed, Bernie, and it wasn't just me on this show. It was a lot of people who cover baseball who said, well, you know what? Wilson's going to spend a couple, 2-3 years as the Cardinals catcher, and then they've got a lot of great catchers coming up, and there's probably just going to be a point where it makes sense for him to go ahead to move to a first base DH role. We were saying that the day he became a Cardinal. Maybe it's happening a year earlier than we thought, but this should not shock anybody.
No, well, no. And in fact, when the Cardinals did this, I remember speaking with John Mozeliak, and he even said, listen, we believe, you know, he'll do a fine job for us behind the plate. But like you said, Matt, he said, but down the road, you know, we can see him as our DH. So there's an easy transfer, and we keep his bat in the lineup. Like you said, they might be moving that up a year. But the point is, you know, his bat can't help you if he's hurt and he's getting banged up behind the plate. This is a way to get as many at bats from him as you can. And it's also a way to make yourself better offensively by getting Ivan Herrera's bat in the lineup, which is something, based on my interaction with fans, they all seem to have been calling for quite a while. And I'm not trying to diminish Pedro Páez, because he did a good job for them. But I think every single one of us would agree that Herrera has far more offensive upside. He's younger, he's got more talent. And he also, if you go by StatCast, Herrera actually took steps forward defensively this past season. So I like it, because they have to have a better offense. And I think they're managing to do this by moving Contreras to first base, because if they had two slap hitting catchers waiting, but no, they have a really good hitting young catcher, and Jimmy Crooks will be knocking on the door. He's their top catching prospect, and he just brutalizes right-handed pitching. He's a left-handed bat. He spent the entire 24 season at AA and just had tremendous numbers against right-handed pitching. He'll be a Triple A Memphis, which means he will be metaphorically knocking on the door to St. Louis. So you can't have, you know, 15 catchers or whatever, you know, so you got to move one of them. And if Contreras was all up for this and fired up about it, then this is a good thing to do.
I do think it's going to be an interesting narrative to watch on the playing time split between Páez and Herrera, because you're right, Herrera's bat certainly plays at the major league level. We also know that the Cardinals can get a little wrapped up in things sometimes, especially from a defensive standpoint. And when they had the opportunity to go with either Páez or Herrera this year, they went with Páez. That's the guy they're comfortable with defensively, and I don't know if anything's going to immediately change that.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be raising some cane if, listen, Páez is going to play a lot anyway. I mean, let's not act like if Herrera is your number one catcher, that means you'll see the number two catcher, in this case particularly, you'll see him once every 7 days or whatever. Páez is going to play. But if we're talking about how this should be allocated, in my opinion, it's a strong opinion. Herrera, this is the whole point. First of all, I'm backing up a little bit before I go ahead. You know, what have we all been talking about? What have the Cardinals all been talking about? They've been talking about, well, we're taking a step back a little bit. We really want to give the young guys opportunities. You know, we want to find out about them. We want to give them a chance to play and, you know, work on their flaws and get better and get better and get better. Okay, I'm on board with that, as everybody knows. But if you're not going to, if you're not going to play Ivan Herrera extensively behind the plate, then why is this considered a retooling year? This is exactly why you're having this type of situation on your team and why you have declared as such to your fans. Ivan Herrera is a perfect example of what this season should be about.
It's another move, and I think it's safe to say, like this, if there was any chance that Nolan Arenado was going to stay a Cardinal, that goes away with this move, right?
I haven't thought about that. When you talk to me about that, I want to hear your opinion.
Because all of a sudden you got to use third base for your other guys. If when you had, when you had first base kind of in the mix for that group of guys, Burleson, Baker, Herrera, Gorman, Donovan, Sejacy, like those guys were going to handle first, DH, second, and third. If you take first out of the situation, then all of a sudden you got all those guys and you got one less position.
Well, that's right. And I think, in fact, I was talking about this with Kevin Wheeler on the Dave Glover show this afternoon. I really do think it's in everybody's best interest to trade Arenado, not because he's an awful guy or an awful player. It's just for you what you just laid out. You want to take a look at some guys at third base. Gorman in particular intrigues me. You know, he's blocking that move. And the fact is, look, he's going to be 34 in the spring, and he's in decline offensively and to an extent defensively. And the contract is not onerous, but the contract is hefty. And if there is trade interest in him, I think they would do well to move him, even if it means eating some of that contract. But again, that's easy for me to say. I can't gauge what the trade interest is, and I can't tell you how the Cardinals feel about eating a big part of that contract.
Last thing for you, Bernie, and I don't even know what this question is, but I guess just sports gambling gets approved in Missouri. You've lived here for a very, very long time. It's taken a little bit since it first became something that states could even start approving. I guess there's still some votes out, and there's still actually a path that maybe it doesn't, but basically everybody's saying that this thing is good to go. What are your thoughts on the fact that we will have sports gambling legal here?
Well, I think it's overdue. And, you know, I say this as just someone who lives in the state for a long time. But, you know, you have 8 border states that have legalized gambling in terms of sports book type thing. And so that money that could be staying in Missouri is going elsewhere. And the other thing is, and pardon me for sounding dramatic, but as an American citizen, I think I should be allowed in the privacy of my own home to get out of an app on my phone and put $20 on a football game. You know, I mean, we all this talk about freedom and individual rights and all this. Well, why would anybody want to prevent me from doing that with the money that I earn and the money that I make? It seems really strange to me that people are opposed to this when gambling is everywhere in our state, and it's state run gambling in a lot of cases. So it's not like this is some territory that's never had gambling. Oh, we can't take that step. That step was taken a long, long time ago. So let's not be hypocrites about this.
Bernie Miklas, you can check out the Bernie Show on YouTube. He just posted a video about the move to first base for Wilson Contreras. Goes deep on it for about 35 minutes. Head to YouTube and go to the Bernie Show. Also part of the Gas House Gang, which is available via the KMOX socials. Bernie, before we let you go, who is helping you come on today?
As always, Matt, it's our friends at Saliga Heating and Cooling, an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We've been clients for about 16 years. But my gosh, Saliga Heating and Cooling, right there on the same building on Gravois where it all started in South City, they've been taking care of St. Louis family since 1927. And from our experience, I am very happy and I am very much at peace to tell you they're the best because of their honesty, their integrity, their prompt service, their knowledge, their professionalism, the classiness they have when they come into your home. They never try to upsell you. They never try to talk you into something that you probably don't need. And in our case, they've actually looked for ways to save us money by making minor repairs that'll keep everything in line for a few more years. And then you can invest in maybe a whole new piece of that American Standard equipment later on. Of course, they do residential work, commercial work, all makes and models, repairs, updates. They install that new American Standard equipment if you need it. And they have a maintenance program that you should look into. We've been members of it for several years now, and it gives you peace of mind before the cold weather and before the hot weather that your equipment is working just fine. If you want to find out a lot more about Saliga Heating and Cooling, go to their site. And it's got the phone number there too. But you go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. That's SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. And again, the phone number is there for you. Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
The big news of the day coming out of the baseball GM meetings, where we learned earlier that the Cardinals plan to move Wilson Contreras full-time to first base, or first base DH, but full-time in terms of his defensive positioning. Nobody better to talk about that than somebody who is down at the GM meetings. He is the Cardinals' lead baseball writer for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is our friend Derek Gould. Derek, thanks for taking some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt. Always good to chat with you.
Were you surprised by the news that the Cardinals came out today that Contreras is, it's not just that he's moving over to first base, but it's exclusive. He's not going to be catching at all moving forward.
You know, maybe the definitiveness of it, how early it was, you know, it's a bit of a shift, though. Probably the natural outcome of the conversation that's like started maybe a week and a half ago, right? Like Jimmy Crooks is going to be the starting catcher at AAA, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that. The Cardinals have made that clear. They've talked about it internally, you know, and that meant that they were going to carry three catchers in the majors, right? That either sets up them to do, you know, one of two things, right? Either have those three catchers and find a way to fit them all in there, or trade one of them. And the Cardinals are going to, they'll probably still get phone calls on Herrera from interested teams. And, you know, but does anything wow them? Clearly not yet, or they don't expect that to. And then in talks with Contreras, you know, he's got a no trade clause. So if he wanted to up and go elsewhere, he could say as much. And the Cardinals have wanted to be receptive to that for these veteran players who signed with them, thinking that, you know, every year is going to be a run for a World Series. But Wilson expressed an interest in staying with St. Louis, which he has before, and then stayed with, you know, with what he said to the Cardinals. So it became a question of, all right, well, if you're going to stay, where are you going to play? And the medical staff thought, well, it's best for, and Wilson, you know, has signed on to this to play first base or DH. That solves two things for the Cardinals. One, it clears up two spots at catcher for the youth, which is their focus at a lot of positions this year. And then, of course, you know, gives them a first baseman and satisfies Wilson's wish to remain with the Cardinals.
At the end of the season, Wilson made some comments that certainly made some headlines when he, I wouldn't say he called the Cardinals front office out, but he certainly indicated that he'd like to see them do more just based off social media reaction, and you should never judge anything off social media reaction. But
absolutely judge everything off of, if there's anything that we can learn from this week here, is completely judge everything off of, no, judge nothing, judge nothing. Well, look at it through a very, very, very scrutinized eye.
And that's where you come in. How do those two things kind of reconcile together? His comments at the end of the season and his very strong desire to remain a Cardinal, even in a year where they may take a step back.
Yeah, I think that messaging is developing a little bit, right? Like, I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I think, you know, some of the things, and I'm going to write about this for the Post-Dispatch, so I'm not trying to be coy, But it was definitely a question that I asked the Mo today is, all right, you have these personal conversations with these players, right? The four guys who have no trade, particularly the three guys that are on everybody's mind, which is Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado, and Wilson Contreras. You know, what are you telling them? And I've had more than a few people tell me here at these meetings that, you know, the way the Cardinals look is somewhat like what the Brewers look like last year, or the Mets look like last year. And, you know, they started the offseason. It looks like, all right, well, they're going to take a step back. They're going to not be really pushing forward. And at the same time, the Cardinals look like a team that was really pushing forward, right? Nearly spending $100 million on three pitchers and doing it fast and answering those questions. Well, how'd the division end up? You know, the Brewers, who traded their best pitcher and, you know, let other guys go, won handily. And so, you know, at these GM meetings, there's been a lot of talk about, like, you know, the Cardinals roster is going to look different, familiar names, but the results might be better. And is that possible? And so I did ask Mo about that. Like, what kind of messaging are you giving these guys about, you know, 2025? And, you know, are you content with 70 wins, but, you know, better farm system? Or would you like to see this play out a little bit? And if these guys play well, then outfit them with a chance to, to contend. And I think the Cardinals don't really have an answer for that yet, but that messaging is starting to develop for guys like Sonny Gray, like Wilson Contreras, like Nolan Arenado. And is it what they want to hear? Well, Nolan, you know, I mean, we'll find out. For right now, Contreras wanted to stay. Sonny Gray has expressed an interest in staying, intrigued at least by the direction they're going. So we'll see. But I think the question you asked is a great one, and I think over time we're going to see that develop. We don't know today. What we do know is that they dropped a lot of cost, a lot of salary, and that was essential. And now they can that was essential to them. I'm not saying that was their opinion that it was essential. And now they can start looking at, okay, well, how do you put together a team and what does that look like?
All right, so when over and over we've heard John Mozeliak this offseason talk about the opportunities for young players, and this is connected to that. Two young catchers are going to get an opportunity. But there's other spots on the infield, and you've got a Thomas Tejasi, you've got a Lucan Baker, there's a bunch of guys, young players. You still hope that Nolan Gorman's going to take a step forward. Does all this probably lead to Nolan Arenado being the guy that isn't on this team next year?
I mean, that's a possibility, right? But it takes three things to make that happen. And you're also talking about one of the more complex contracts already in Major League Baseball, because just how many teams are going to be paying his salary if he's traded, right? The answer is three, right, I think?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Cardinals are going to have to cover some. Cardinals have deferred money. You know, his deal is still appealing, especially with the market and the way it is. So we'll see. But, you know, it takes the Cardinals finding an offer that intrigues them that they can pull off with the approval of both MLB and the union, and then also the approval of Nolan Arenado. So you have those three steps that you have to kind of tie together or splice together that can be tricky. But, I mean, you're like, the way you presented it is really good, because if he's not part of this team, say they can find the spot that he wants to go, right? And he's not part of this team, then that's another opening in the infield for them to use. Who gets that position? Not quite sure. Brendan Donovan sure is going to be somewhere in the infield, right? That much is clear. So where does Gorman and Tejasi fit? And how does that team look? I mean, I think that goes back to your previous question, or that we were kind of talking about, is how good could they be? You know, that infield, you know, could look really strong. Or it could look really young and go through some real big growing pains.
Yeah, I keep saying this, and I don't feel like people listen to me. Like, I don't think you have to squint that hard to see a scenario where the team is kind of similar to what they were this past year. And when you're going for it, that's not good. But if it's a reset year, I think you can kind of look at that level of success differently.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm being very candid with you and your listeners that I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around that, because the Cardinals brand, for as long as I've covered them, you know, which now, what, more than two decades, has been to go for it and to chase a way to improve. Now, that's led to some problems, clearly, because they haven't had the patience with some of the young players that have thrived elsewhere with playing time. And, you know, I think you and I have talked about it, and I've written about it and spoke with Mo again about it, about that opportunity gap. And they are trying to close it this year, after years of saying that's just the nature of being a Cardinal. So I'm real intrigued by that. So I think, you know, and so I'm trying to wrap my head around exactly what you're talking about. Like, what measure do you look at the 2025 Cardinals from? I know what measure the Cardinals want people to look at them from, and are even trying to share that with the team as well, is like, let's lower the expectations a little bit, but not settle. And how do you sell that to fans too? Which they just really need to, I think they want to see if a really good team develops from lower expectations, as opposed to setting high expectations and over the last few years continually not meeting them. So it'll be a different team in that way, even though a lot of the players will seem familiar. And, you know, not holding them to the historic brand that they've had, I'm slow to do that, and I acknowledge that.
I think that's fair. And well, you know what? I bet a lot of my listeners are very much like-minded with you on that and probably appreciate those words coming out of your mouth. Derek, I know it's busy at the GM meetings. Thank you so much. We encourage everybody to read you in the Post-Dispatch online at STL Today. There is no better team of baseball writers to do a better job than the team at Post-Dispatch, and you lead the way on that. So hopefully everybody is subscribed. Enjoy the rest of the meetings and hope to see you soon.
Yeah, they're almost done, right? It seems like they just started, and they're almost done. And then in a few weeks, we'll be back here in Texas for winter meetings.
Well, we'll for sure see you there.
Yeah, look forward to it, Matt. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. That's Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Again, you know who he is, and he's as good as they come when it comes to baseball writers. We'll take one more break. We got a couple responses from some of what we've said. We'll go through that a little bit and try to put a bit of a bow, at least for the moment, on the Wilson Contreras conversation before we jump into a couple other things that's coming up next hour. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
I'll tell you what, our two big topics today are getting a ton of reaction via the text line. If you want to get in here, you can text at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. After the 7 o'clock news, we're going to go into the sports gambling side of things with that seemingly being approved. Mark Maxwell, who is does a great job as a reporter over at Channel 5, he's been tweeting out some stuff that there are still some results coming in, and this is not 100% locked in quite yet, despite the reporting out there. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the implications of the Cardinals with sports betting. I actually think it connects to the TV situation, so I'll get into that coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Want to go through some of the response, though, to Wilson Contreras going over to first base. From 314 says, Wilson was your best catcher. You should have kept him catching and make Herrera a first baseman. I think the big thing here is that there was very little confidence that Contreras was going to be able to stay healthy playing as a catcher. That's just when, and I should have probably talked to Derek Gould a little bit more about this, but there were so many things to get into, and we were limited a little bit by time. Contreras played 84 games this past season, and not all of them were as a catcher. He was obviously injured a lot. When you listen to what John Mozeliak had to say to reporters today, indications to me feel like there was a belief through the training staff, the doctors, and everybody that they were not going to be able to keep Contreras healthy as long as he was a catcher. So you move him over to first base. He is still a very plus offensive player at first base. He's one of your, you know, 4, 5, 6 best offensive hitting first basemen by some measures. So you put him over there. I think if the team felt like he could stay healthy and they could do something where he's playing 5, 6 days a week, 3, 4 days catching, and a couple days as the DH, I think they do that. But I don't believe that they think that Contreras was going to be able to stay healthy catching. So they move him over to first base. They keep his bat in the lineup on an everyday basis. It is the best bat that the team has right now. And bluntly, his bat is a lot more valuable than who he is defensively. And that's not a shot at his defense. He got much, much better defensively. He was a very respectable defensive catcher this past year. But that bat needs to be in the lineup on an everyday basis. Text message for another 3 and 4. Glad Wilson's still on the team, but better off at catcher. Same thing. Somebody saying no reason to trade Nolan Arenado. I still think they want to dump a little bit more payroll, and I think they still want to open up some more opportunities for some younger guys. You can open up those opportunities by making sure that third base is available. Look, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like the idea that maybe Nolan Gorman is your third baseman when he struggled so much this past year, but you still have to give Gorman every opportunity to take that step forward. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
We do continue on. Spent pretty much the entire first hour talking about Wilson Contreras moving over to first base. Bernie Miklas and myself will have a lot more on that tomorrow during the Gas House Gang, which will run from 12 to 1 on all of our social media channels as a video stream. You can watch Bernie and I talk about that, and then you can rewatch it later, and you can listen to it as a podcast later as well. So that's going to be coming up tomorrow and every day, 12 to 1. Friday, it's going to be Bernie and Kevin Wheeler. Monday, I'll be back to being all four of us. Every Monday, the four of us, Kevin Wheeler, Tom Ackerman, Bernie Miklas, and myself, do the Gas House Gang. And then we're wrapping up week number one of it. It's been a whole lot of fun. Up until about 7:30, we're going to do a lot on sports gambling as it has pretty much been approved. There is the AP hasn't actually called it yet because I guess I'm just going off what Mark Maxwell from Channel 5 has tweeted out. There still could potentially be some mail-in ballots that if they all broke against it, it could be enough to turn it over. But in all likelihood, that's not going to happen. So it's like a 99.9% chance at this point. So we're just going to talk about it as if it is being passed. And if something crazy happens, then we'll circle back on it at some point over the next few days. Alex Gold is going to join us in about 10 minutes. And he's great when it comes to this, and we'll get his thoughts. I don't want to claim to be an expert on something that I'm not. So I would be lying and I would be disingenuous if I were to sit here and tell you that I have read through the lines of the, you know, the proposition and I know all the legal ramifications of it. But just based off the text that I am getting about this, there does seem to be a lot of people who do not believe that money is going to go to education as a result of this. And largely because that was the promise that was made with the lottery, and bluntly, it didn't happen. It has not impacted education in the state of Missouri the way it was kind of promised when the lottery came in. And that goes back, that's way before me. I don't know the year that the lottery started, but it's been around my entire life for at least as far as I remember back. And so I get it. Like, there's people who don't have trust in sports gambling creating money for schools because they were told the same thing about the lottery and it didn't happen. I know this, though. I do know this. The money going to the schools is a constitutional guarantee in this, which is very different than the lottery, incredibly different than it was worked out with the lottery. Bill DeWitt III was on with Tom Ackerman this morning here on KMOX, and they talked about the fact that they structured this the same way they structured it in the state of Connecticut, where in the state of Connecticut, they had produced about $40 million in tax revenue out of it. And in that situation, there's going to be like $5 million or so that ends up going to the regulatory folks and also to some folks that are going to, you know, problem gambling fund, where whether it's a 1-800-BETS-OFF commercial or whatever it might be, that the money is going to go to that. But then the rest of it is going to go to education. So from what I have been told, and if I'm wrong on this, I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. From what I've been told, there is a constitutional guarantee that money is going to go to schools on this. I want to say this too. I'm not a big sports gambler. I'm just not. It's not my thing. You've heard me say it before. I always say there's a reason those casinos in Las Vegas are able to build really big buildings. Like, it's because they're taking folks' money. Like, they know what they're doing. I know that there are people out there that can go make money on sports gambling and they're really good at it. There's not a lot of those people out there. And the vast majority of people lose money on sports gambling. Doesn't mean that, you know, if you go spend 3.5 hours playing golf and you drop 35, 40 bucks, 100 bucks, whatever it might be to go play golf and you enjoy yourself. I've always said, you know, from a hobby standpoint, if that's what you enjoy, what's really the difference between that and the act of having a little bit of fun and throwing some money on a game? So I've never been offended by sports gambling. I don't really partake, not my thing, but I'm glad. I'm glad it's going to be legal in Missouri. We'll talk with Alex Gold about some more of the like infrastructure type stuff when it comes to it, and a conversation that will certainly continue on this show and others. What impact is this going to have on the professional sports franchises in the state of Missouri? And in terms of this conversation, the St. Louis Cardinals, because we all know that the Cardinals and the Blues and everybody was promoting it and wanting it to come through. First off, it's another revenue stream. I think it is very likely that we are going to see a sports book of some sort in Ballpark Village at some point in the future. Now, does that mean it's going to be a full-fledged book like you where you go to Vegas? Or does that mean there's going to be a desk or a window and a computer and you're able to go up and place a bet and that's going to kind of be the extent of it? I bet it starts as the window, and if they have a lot of success with it, I bet it turns into something a little bit more elaborate. So that's one part of this. So it's another revenue stream for the Cardinals and the other professional sports franchises in the state of Missouri. And look, it's going to benefit people who talk about sports on the radio. It's going to benefit people who talk about sports on TV. Like anything that touches like the male demographic that is connected to that, like, you got to think that there's going to be a benefit to that. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't say there wasn't going to be a benefit there. At some point in time, you are probably going to hear commercials for a sports book here on KMOX. That is what I would think. I would think that the sports books that come in are going to be advertising. And I want the company that I work for to create as much revenue as possible. So yeah, I've got a vested interest in this thing. I absolutely do. And I think everybody should have a vested interest in the company that they work for having some success. So yeah, that's one part of it as well. I think when it comes to the Cardinals, what I'm really interested in, and I keep connecting this to the TV situation. So TV Network was Bally, which is a gaming group. And again, these are just like naming rights agreements. The folks that own the regional sports network that is now FanDuel Sports Network. It's not FanDuel, it's Diamond Sports Group. But they've got a naming rights agreement with FanDuel, which is a sports betting outfit. I have started to think more and more. If you would have talked to me a month ago, I would have told you that I thought that the Cardinals were not going to be on what was Bally, now FanDuel, next year, and that they were going to completely move to their own thing. Using the way the Brewers and the Rangers and the other teams, I think Cleveland's in that group, that were announced. I wonder, especially with, the Cardinals have an ownership interest in what is FanDuel Sports Network, previously Bally Sports. I just have to wonder, with sports gambling becoming legal, does staying on FanDuel, is there a mechanism in all of that where everybody says, okay, sports gambling is going to be legal, FanDuel is going to be legal in the state of Missouri, it makes sense to push that product, and they'll end up paying the Cardinals more than they would have had sports gambling not become. I'm making a leap. I know I am making a leap here. But I would argue that when your regional sports network is branded with a sports gaming company, FanDuel, that if sports betting is legal in the state, the main state, and it was obviously illegal in Illinois, but it legal in the state that the team actually is located in, that there is more value to having the team on that TV network. And the Cardinals are going to try to retain as much revenue as they possibly can out of their TV deal. They're going to lose some. They're not going to make the full $1 billion that they signed for when it was originally Fox Sports Midwest and then eventually Bally Sports Midwest. But they're having conversations about renegotiating that deal. And that little voice inside me says, you know what? Now that sports gambling is going to be legal in Missouri, I think the Cardinals become an even more valuable product where Diamond Sports Group might be comfortable offering even more money, not more money than what the deal was, but more money to the Cardinals than if sports gambling was not legal. So that's where I think the sports gambling thing and the TV thing kind of merge together. Not a lot of people are talking about that. Maybe I'm completely off my rocker and I'm connecting two things that I should not be connecting, but I feel like there is a connection between the two. Alex Gold joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on sports gambling becoming legal in Missouri, what's going to look like. I'll ask him some of these questions that you've been texting as well. That's up next here on KMOX. A Great Bar Sports Open Line continues right here on KMOX. Yesterday, the election, there was a sports connection to it as legalized sports gambling is coming to the state of Missouri. Of note, the Associated Press has yet to officially certify it. There's still some mail-in ballots out there, but it seems incredibly unlikely that something crazy would happen and it would not be legalized. One of the more prominent voices in the state that has covered this issue and talked about this issue is from our sister station, 96.5. The Fan in Kansas City. He is Alex Gold, and he joins us right now. Alex, thanks so much for your time. I got to think, as much time as you have spent in the last few years watching this go into the state house and everything, and come back out of it and eventually get to the ballot, it had to be rather gratifying to see this finally get passed last night.
Yeah, definitely. No question. I mean, we both have probably heard from so many listeners over the years that, we're wondering, well, why is this not passing? When's it going to happen? I've got all these states that border me. I'm getting sick of driving across state lines. We've all heard that. Those are real stories from people. And, I obviously was a proponent and have been a proponent of letting people have the ability to make a decision whether they want to bet on sports or not. And this was the best path for it to happen, because, as you said, it's been held up in the Missouri legislature really ever since 2018 when it became a state issue. And it was just not going to pass out of there for a couple reasons. And this vote was the best path. And if it would have failed, it could have been many, many years more, you know, down the road for it to actually become reality. So I'm glad to see that. As you said, it's not, you know, the final count's not in, but, you know, it's a very narrow margin, 4,300 or so votes. But it's going to pass, and this will be moving forward.
You know, it's interesting because you're obviously on a sports station in Kansas City. KMOX is a news, talk, conversation, information station that has a lot of sports, Cardinals, Billikens, the whole thing. But from a vocal standpoint, text line, callers, tweets and everything, I actually hear from more people who are against it than for it, and I bet you hear a lot more from people who are for it than against it.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we're a sports radio station, and so it fits right in that demographic. And that's not to say that occasionally we wouldn't get a text or I won't get a tweet from somebody that is just flat out, like, you know, anti-gambling, right, which is fine. There's plenty of people. I mean, we all just saw the results. There's clearly a large majority of those that voted that didn't want it for a variety of reasons. I don't think it was just anti-gambling. I don't think it was just the question of where's the money going. I think it's a combination of things that build that up. But yeah, most people that listen to our show, just because we're a sports radio station, were in favor of it, and because a lot of them were already betting, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, it's not as if suddenly now everybody in Missouri is going to start betting for the first time. There'll be some people like that have never bet, but so many people were driving to Illinois for you guys on your side of the state, and Kansas City on the Kansas side, on this side of the state, or going up to Iowa, whatever it may be, or betting offshore, which is even worse because the money's not even staying in the U.S. and certainly not staying stateside. So this is something that a lot of people have wanted. And, you know, props to Missouri residents for making it happen. I mean, the 39th state to legalize it, better late than never, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was for it. I think it makes sense for the reasons that you said. The tax revenue was leaving the state in most of the population centers, at least the ones closest to state borders. I guess folks in Columbia and Jefferson City might be the exception to that rule. But most of the people in the state, the population centers, are fairly close to some sort of state border where you can get somewhere and, you know, bet legally. Were you at all surprised, though, to that point? St. Louis, for sure, and I think Kansas City to a lesser extent, the numbers were not as profoundly for this as you might have thought. Were you at all surprised by that?
Well, I was told it was going to be close. You know, I had talked to people leading up weeks out, a month or so out, and even though some of the polls suggested things were trending all right for a while, there was a ton of undecided. And I think when you look at the opposition, the no side, the campaign put up, you know, $14 million in the campaign, which for an opposition side of a ballot initiative is, I think, is as much as we've seen in the Missouri's history. And obviously, even on the yes side, 40 something million, that's more than we've ever seen. So, you know, credit to both sides, right, for getting out there and obviously getting the message they wanted respectively across and narrowed the gap. I didn't think it was going to be 4,300 vote difference close. But I thought, you know, 51.5%, something like that, would have got it done. But this is why it's very important for everybody to go out there, no matter what the issue is, and go out and vote, because it truly, truly does matter. I mean, 4,300 when 2.9 million people, I think it was, voted on this issue. I mean, that's an amazing margin to have it come down to.
I don't want to get too into the weeds here, but I'm getting a lot of response from people who don't believe that money's actually going to go to education because they don't see lottery money go to the education. And when the lottery came in, that was the promise. From what I understand, there's a constitutional guarantee that this money goes to education. Is that correct?
That's kind of the gray area, right? It depends on who you talk to. Could still be left up to some to decide where the money goes. And what that dollar amount looks like. And I think you just asked me why it was so close. This was the big issue. You know, we saw the yes and no side, both of their campaigns, TV ads, radio ads, were all centered around money either going or not going towards education. And I think, you know, there was a lot of people that I talked to that were turned off by it a little bit because they felt like they were either being lied to or like, hey, don't tell us this is why you're passing it because you care about education. We know you just want sports betting passed. And look, some of this is politics, but also I think that turned some people off at the time when they were thinking about voting yes or no. As far as the dollar amount, I think people do need to be prepared that because of the way the ballot initiative was written, the tax revenue that will go to the state of Missouri, especially early on, is going to be very minuscule because there's going to be deductions allowed. for promo credit. So I'm talking about when you sign up for the first time and you get that free bet or free $100 bet or whatever, those can be deducted. Not every state does that. It happened in the Kansas side. It's why in year one, if you look at the Kansas revenue that came in from sports wagering, it was very small. One, because of that, also because people bet on the Chiefs and they won the Super Bowl. But the other reason it was because of the deduction. So, I don't think in year one in particular you're going to see a huge dollar amount. And, you know, it depends on why you voted for this. Like, I've been pretty open about it on my betting show and local show that, you know, my big thing was letting people have the right to make a decision to bet. It was never, hey, go vote for this because it's going to bring in a ton of money to the state of Missouri. I said, that's a nice impact if it does, and you're preventing people from also just going and spending money, not even tax revenue from the betting. I'm talking about going to your gas station or breakfast spot on a Sunday morning and making your bets. We've all heard stories of people doing that in Illinois or in Kansas. So it's that impact too. But I don't expect the dollar amount of revenue in year one by any means to be a huge amount.
We're talking with Alex Gold just a moment or more with him. What's the timeline for this? When can residents in Missouri expect to be placing sports bets?
I think that's a $1 million question. I get that asked all the time. I'm sure you've gotten that question already tonight. I've been told early 2025, early next year. Look, it's going to take 30 days, assuming all goes well, for this to become law. I saw some reporting out there suggesting that, December 5th, you could bet. That's not true. There's no way it's up and running that. It has to be up and running by next December. By December 1, there's language in this petition, the ballot initiative, that's when it has to happen. Early 2025, I took that as, March Madness, although we had the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, was on our station today here locally with our afternoon show. He said he thinks by the Super Bowl. I think that's extremely optimistic as well. I hope he's right. But that would put it as the fastest implementation since sports betting implementation was happening in the United States. North Carolina took 9 months roughly to get going back in 2023. Kansas had the quickest uptick from May passage in the legislature to good to go by Labor Day, 70-something days. That, to me, is the benchmark to hit, 70-something days. I don't think December to the Super Bowl is all that realistic, but we'll see.
There, just tell Missouri this is how you beat Kansas, and they'll just jump right on it.
There you go.
Alex Gold is part of the team at our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan. You follow him on Twitter, at Alex Gold. Alex, thank you so much for taking the time. Great information. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the line.
No problem. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome. That's Alex Gold joining us here on the program. Appreciate him taking a moment or so with us. We'll see. 3 months from now, can sports gambling be going? I agree with Alex that I don't think that having it up and running by the Super Bowl is seemingly likely. You know, all the different companies that do sports gambling, Casino Queen, who are they connected with? What sports book are they?
DraftKings.
They're DraftKings. Okay. So, like, Casino Queen has DraftKings. Different casinos are going to be different, aligned with different sports gaming and everything. Look, some of the casinos are already owned by companies that have their own books and everything. Like, just all the logistics, all the licenses, who's going to get them, who's going to be operating the sports books. This is a heavy lift. This is a very, very heavy lift that they're going to be doing. So getting this done in 3 months or less. But again, he said, did he say 76 days for Kansas? So Missouri wants to beat Kansas. There you go. You are on the clock in getting sports gambling up and running in the state of Missouri. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll have a little bit more on this. We'll also touch on the Blues and the scary situation yesterday. That's up next. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Appreciate Alex Gold joining us. I'll tell you, the one thing he said in our conversation about the sports gambling that I was not completely aware of, and again, I'm not trying to project myself out as the end-all, be-all knower of all things going on when it comes to sports gambling. I don't care. Like, I'm fine with it being legal. I think it's a personal decision on if you want to bet on sports or not. So I was never overly worried with some of the details of it because I just think it should be legal, even though I don't really partake in it. So I did not realize that, like, the bonus credits that you get, you know, you go to like a casino or whatever and you get a player's card and they give you a free play. I did not realize that basically the promo credits, the free play or whatever they're going to call it, can come out of the amount of money that the tax revenue that would then be distributed to schools. I didn't realize that. So that's interesting. And what that doesn't really have a long-term impact on it, but it absolutely has a short-term impact on it. Like Alex said, at least in the first year of it, expect the tax revenue going to schools in the state of Missouri to be a very low number because of the amount of promo credits that are going to probably be taken out of it. So I do find that part interesting, but from a long-term standpoint, I still think it's something that's probably good for the state. And again, my whole thing is, and I'm not trying to get too political here, but my whole thing is I don't like watching revenue, tax revenue, go across the border. Like, that's dumb. It's just, you're sitting here in downtown St. Louis or you're sitting in downtown Kansas City and you want to make a sports bet and you can go over a river, you can go over a border and you can do it, and that's tax revenue that would have stayed in this state and instead it's going over to another state. It never made sense to me. A text message from 314 says, why don't you talk about how $100 million over 5 years for schools is a mere pittance? It isn't enough money to wax the floors in a major school district, and nothing compares to all the money that the gambling organizations and the sports franchises are going to make. All right, I'm going to call up every superintendent of every school district across the state of Missouri, and I'm going to say, hey, you've got an opportunity to bring in some extra money from this or not. Which one are you going to take? Nobody's telling you that the schools are getting rich off this. Nobody's telling you that new big buildings are going to be built at school districts across the state because they're getting this. Nobody has claimed that. And yeah, like, if you're upset about the fact that the sports books and the companies that run the casinos and everything and the different teams are going to make more money off this, then I would respectfully ask you to take a step forward into the real world. Of course, that's the world we live in. Of course it's going to work out that way. There is a reason that these various organizations that run sports books put millions upon millions upon millions of dollars into the campaign to get this thing passed. There's a reason that the respective teams put a lot of money into this to get this thing passed. There was a reason you were seeing Ozzie Smith all the time talking about the fact that you can go, you know, vote for this. Of course, that's the way the world works. Like, why are we? You can be bitter about it, but you're not going to change it. I really try. I'm not 100% on this. Nowhere near 100% on this. I really try not to overly worry about the things that I can't control. And if I'm making a decision to either vote for sports gambling to be legal in the state or for it not to be, for me personally, not telling you how to look at things, but for me personally, I was never once going to say to myself, well, you know what? It's not going to create enough money for the schools, but it is going to create lots of money for FanDuel. It is going to create lots of money for DraftKings. It is going to create lots of money for MGM or Caesars or whoever. Like, I never thought of that. It's found money for the schools. I hope it benefits them. I also hope that, because I don't run away from the fact that gambling can be an addiction, that gambling can ruin lives. Like, I don't run away from that. My take on this might be different on this. I would at least pause for a moment. If we were not living somewhere where it's so easy just to go do it anyways, where you can just drive five, you know, I'm in downtown St. Louis right now, where you can just drive 5 minutes over the river. Or if I'm at home in Chesterfield, I can just drive 25 minutes and get over the river. Like, if I don't live in that scenario, that's why it did not shock me at all that some of these votes that came in from rural Missouri, from mid-Missouri, like if I live in Columbia or I live in Jefferson City, it's a different thought process for me. Because at that point, I'm not thinking of it in terms of tax revenue exiting the state. Now, I think even if I lived in Columbia, even if I lived in Jefferson City, I probably still would have voted for it because I am somebody that I don't like to see, like, I understand that it's not across the board harmful. I guess that's where I'm trying to go here. I'm out of my lane, by the way, talking on this, if you can't tell. But it's like when government is regulating you on things and not allowing things, like, you know, you can't drink until you're 21, or you're not supposed to drink until you're 21 because alcohol on a brain and on a body before you're 21 is across the board harmful. Okay, I get that. Same thing with smoking, same things like that. So if there is if there's something that across the board is going to hurt somebody, I understand why you would regulate it. I don't think this is an across the board thing. Last thing on this, that same person texting me says, I thought about the way the world works. He says, it may be the world works, but dishonesty is dishonesty, whether it comes from a government politician or KMOX. Where am I being dishonest here? Where am I? Kyle Sixtus here. Kyle, I think I've presented this in a very fair sort of way. I don't understand. Where am I being unfair? I appreciated Alex Gold talking about the fact that not as much tax revenue was going to be created. I don't see where, if I am being dishonest on something, it's not because I'm being dishonest, it's because I don't know. I think I have presented both sides of the argument quite well.
I agree. And I happen to agree that's just extra money for schools as opposed to nothing at all. I feel like it's relatively simple. It's nothing versus something.
My daughter is in kindergarten. We get a book order form every month. I can order the book order and just get her books, or I can order the book order and I can put in the code for her school, and then some of that money goes to the school. Which one am I going to do? I'm going to get the money for her school. So I'm going to put it in that way. Like, that to me, it's obviously not apples to apples, but that's what it's just kind of found money for the schools.
Obviously, you take every little bit you can get. And obviously, with the code, it's not building them new buildings and not doing an insane amount for the school, but it's still a little bit amount of money.
A little bit, and then it's good. All right, Brad Young's in the house. He's going to be hosting At Your Service. We'll probably touch on this with him a little bit and get into a few other things as he'll preview what's going to be coming up on the program tonight. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the program tonight here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. When I get done, we've got At Your Service this evening, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And Brad Young is going to be hosting. He joins us right now. Now, if you haven't been tuned in our entire show, we spent basically the entire first hour, the 6 o'clock hour, talking through Wilson Contreras moving to first base. And then the last hour we spent talking about sports gambling. Tomorrow, Bernie Miklas and myself will have the Gas House Gang at 12 noon on all the KMOX sports social media channels, and then archive form on podcast and also social media channels, and we'll get more into Wilson Contreras. But Brad Young is going to be here for the next 2 hours after I wrap up, and I know day after the election, I'm sure you've got a few things to talk about.
I do, and phone lines will be open for 2 hours talking about people's reaction to the election, what they thought of the election, what they thought should have happened, Amendment 3, Amendment 2, which I know you talked with Alex Gold, I believe.
Yeah.
I listened to that. That was a great interview. That'll be 2 hours of open line here on At Your Service KMOX.
Tell you what, that Amendment 2, so a lot of money was poured in for it. Until about 3 weeks ago, a lot of money was poured in against it. And then that PAC that was against it, which was funded by one of the casinos that was against it for some reason, they dropped out. And they said today that they're not going to challenge the ask for a recount. So it's going to, once it's in, it's going to go.
Yes.
But what a fierce competition. And it came down to really just a handful of votes.
It really did. And when you were talking to Alex Gold, this is one of those times I almost called in. I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. That would be squirrely. But I wanted to, and here's why. I voted against it, and let me tell you why. Not on any grounds of that people shouldn't have the right. I'm very libertarian. People should have the right to vote or right to place bets if they want. That's an individual's choice. I'm very libertarian when it comes to that. But here's the part that bothered me. the part that said that it was being sold on this idea of funding schools. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you how this is going to work. We know how this is going to work because we have the example of the casinos. When we were sold this idea of casinos, I had represented a casino in the 90s when this was going into effect. So I know how this is going to work. And let me explain it in very simple math terms. Let's use the example that's being thrown around, $100 million for schools. And it's guaranteed under the Constitution. That is true. It's absolutely true. But here's the shell game that Jefferson City plays and every state government plays is this. And I'm going to make up numbers just for discussion purposes. Let's say the state of Missouri funds schools at the tune of $1 billion a year. And now they're going to get an extra $100 million from sports betting. You and I and anyone else would think, oh, that's great. Now, instead of spending $1 billion, we're going to spend $1.1 billion
right.
on schools. That's great. Who's against that? Aha, but here's where the shell game comes in. The constitutional amendment requires that $100 million from the sports betting goes to the schools. But there's nothing in the amendment that prevents the state legislature from then subtracting $100 million from the funding that would otherwise go to the schools. And then it goes to some new spending, some growing the government, something else that the government doesn't need to be involved with doing. And the schools have the exact same amount of money, even though they fraudulently, I think it is fraudulently, sold us on this idea that by passing this amendment, schools would benefit. But at the end of the day, there's a zero net benefit economically.
And this is hard because the budgets are redone
every year.
So there'd be almost no way to do this. But if in a utopian world, if you could have gone somewhere where the base amount would have continued to have been guaranteed to go to schools plus whatever it comes in, would have that changed your vote?
Probably. I want to say probably because there's one other economic problem with sports betting, and that's this, opportunity cost. You said earlier, agree with you 100%. I hate it when tax dollars are going to other states. Completely agree. But here's what happens, and I've seen studies on this. Here's what happens with sports betting or any gambling, and that is the opportunity cost. If I go and I place a bet of $1,000 on a football game and I lose, that's $1,000 now that I don't have to go to the neighborhood restaurant, to buy a refrigerator, to go see a movie at the Galaxy Theater. And then that then trickles into the local economy when you go to see a movie or you buy a refrigerator or you go out for dinner. But when you place that $1,000 bet and lose, that's going straight out of town. So to some extent, the opportunity cost is such that it's detrimental when people place bets on gambling because it's guaranteed that money goes out of town.
Yeah, and I don't per se disagree with what you just said because I do want to see people spend money on local entities. I also think that you spend your discretionary income how you want it.
Exactly.
And when it comes to sports gambling, hey, you know what? At least there's the chance that you'll get some of it back and it can go be spent somewhere else. So I understand what you're saying, but you know that same $1,000 might be spent over at Best Buy for a brand new TV, and that money's walking out the state too.
That's true. So when you put those two ideas together, it's not really helping kids. I mean, it's really not. But is it giving opportunity from a libertarian perspective that people do with what they want with their money? Absolutely. So I was torn. At the end of the day, I voted against it. But I think it's still going to pass. 4,300 is the last number I saw.
Yeah.
And when they count the absentee ballots, it's probably not going to make a big difference. So we will have sports betting within a matter of months.
Yeah, that's how it is looking. Kansas got it done in, what, 72 days? So who
70,
knows?
72 days. Okay. That's what Alex Gold said as I was listening to the interview. Yeah. And I really liked your idea. Challenge Missouri to beat Kansas.
There you
that's
go.
The
just
best
beat,
idea.
Just beat, you know, think of it as that's the Jayhawks who did something. And
gotta
the,
beat
you know,
them.
Go beat them. In 20 seconds again, what's coming up on the show tonight?
I'm going to be breaking down Trump's legal situation, how they're winning
Big
the election.
Big news on that today.
Big news on that today. So we'll be talking about that. And, of course, phone lines will be open for 2 hours to get the pulse of St. Louis.
That is Brad Young. He is with you for the next 2 hours for At Your Service. I'm with you for a half hour tomorrow leading into Thursday Night Football, and then we'll have another two-hour show coming up on Friday. Enjoy your evening. Hopefully we've been able to help you out a little bit talking sports. Brad Young is with you next. It's At Your Service in just a moment here on KMOX.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.